Good morning. Had a great day today. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you so much for this time. I get to look at your word, Lord. I just so much enjoy trying to study and to learn even more about you, and that you can help us to continue to learn, and that we'll always keep our interest peaked to dig even deeper and deeper, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, how's everyone doing today? We are, I guess gave this a name, The King Honors Mordecai. this is a fascinating chapter, because here we are. Now, if you've been kind of hinting at the fact that Haman has got it in for the Jews, and you got to love God's timing. As they say, God's timing is perfect, and you can't outdo it. So let's get some verses up here. And we're not starting with my Job. Where's my verses? Esther 6:1. We're in chapter 6. And very interesting chapter, because you know that Mordecai really has it in for the Jews, and he had all that paperwork done up to get him killed. And the king is still in oblivion to really what's really going on here. And that's what I kind of concentrate on this particular chapter, is that I really think that he has been blinded. Kind of like some people today that really don't see what's going on around them, and that they've given their power over to others that are not using it probably the way they think they are. And I think this chapter really kind of can show us that, what's that old famous saying? Power can corrupt. Absolute power can corrupt absolutely, I think is the way it's worded. And that's probably a good theme for this chapter. So let's get in here. Esther 6:1. On that night could not the king sleep, and the command to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And you've got to say that this is all God doing, because up to this point, we just came out of that feast situation in chapter 5. And we know that Esther is trying to plan a way. She got favor with the Lord, with the king, and got into. But she hasn't divulged what really is going on yet. She's being patient, and she basically left the first banquet, saying, "I'm going to do it again for you tomorrow, and then I'll tell you what I want." Then all of a sudden, that night, God allows this dream to come into the king's. Not a dream, but a sleepless night. I think we've all had those where something's just on our mind and we just can't fall asleep. So the king calls one of his chamberlains, says, "Go get the chronicles and basically read me some of the records." I'm not even sure why he picked this. Maybe he thought it would help him fall asleep. I couldn't help but think of a few stories in the Bible that are along these lines. But on the topic of sleeplessness, over in Job 7:4, Job says, "When I lay down, I say, when shall I arise? And the night be gone, and I am full of tossing to and fro until the dawning of the day." I think we've all had those nights where we keep looking at the clock going, "Oh, I got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's already midnight, or it's 2 a.m., or it's 3 o'clock. Oh, I'm only going to get 3 hours of sleep." And it's almost like it's perpetual. And that's happened to me plenty of times also. And usually somehow I drag myself through the rest of the day. But also talking about the book of records mentioned there in Esther 6:1, over in Malachi, or as Chuck likes to say, the Italian version of Malachi. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that that thought upon his name. So here God is going to use this book of records of the kings to help to wake up this king into what's really going on. And also Daniel 2:1. If you remember back to when Mordecai had helped, as we're going to see here in a minute, what the king's going to read or hear about, is that that time that Mordecai actually helped save the king from being ambushed and killed. And over in Daniel 2:1, and speaking about dreams and restless sleep because of a dream, over in Daniel, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, whereupon his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. That's basically saying he woke up from this dream and could not get back to bed. I've had those nights too. So let's go into Esther 6:2. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on King Xerxes. And this is a refresher. That goes back to Esther 2, Esther 2, 21 and 22. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on King Xerxes. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And it goes on to say that, and when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out, therefore, they were both hung on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. So this incident was in the book of Chronicles, as we see here. And so that's why that's probably one of the last entries in this book that now is being read to the king by his chamberlain. Verse 6:3. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? And then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there is nothing done to nothing has been done for him. So the king's realizing now, boy, this should have been, something nice should have been done for Mordecai for this. Saved my life. But you got to love the irony here. Because here we have Haman, and you got to love this part of it. He's plotting to kill the Jews, of which Mordecai is a Jew. And here we got the king getting ready to honor him. You got to love the, I'm sure that the Lord is just kind of chuckling to himself. Wondering what the look on Haman's face when he realizes what's going to happen. You know, some people say that God is doesn't have a sense of human. Well, I think he does, actually, because honestly, if he gave we're supposed to be in the image of God, and if we have a sense of humor, I'm sure that he does on occasion, too. So over to Galatians 6:9. I brought this in, talking about waiting upon the Lord. And you can see here that even though that Mordecai didn't get honored back then, it's going to mean so much more this time. So I think it's always important to wait on the Lord. And here in Paul talks about it in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Great thing to remember. It's always better if somebody else gives you praise rather than you try to pat yourself on the back. And talking about ingratitude over in Genesis 40:23, remember that that incident with Joseph interpreted the dreams for the chief butler and for the chef, and that he was hoping that that those two would help them help Joseph get out of jail. And it didn't happen right away, but it did end up happening. And you know the story there that Joseph, and I'll show you the verse here in a minute. Really got honor put on him. But here's a case where the chief butler had not honored Joseph right away, but later on. And so it's in Genesis 40:23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. So this is where he forgot him. Later on, he'll remember in that story. Back to Esther 6:4. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the court, outward court of the king's house, to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had just prepared for him. This ought to be Boy, boy, to be a fly on the wall of the king's when the king tells Mordecai, I mean, tells Haman what he wants him to do. But also mentioning, he mentioned there about Mordecai. We talked about the gallows yesterday. It's in chapter, it's in verse 5:1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. I'm not sure why I put that there. I think it's supposed to be Esther 5:14. I grabbed the wrong verse. Hold on. Here's the verse. Not 5:1. I didn't put the 4 behind it. Esther 5:14. Then said Zerosh, his wife, and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. So here we have Haman going in thinking he's going to get Mordecai killed on the gallows, and just the opposite's going to happen. Okay, back to Esther 6:5. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court, and the king said, let him come in. And so Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be on? The king's just promoting a question to Haman. Of course, in Haman's mind, he's got a different thought in mind. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the men, a man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to himself? Now there is self-pride, where you think that you're so good that that when it comes to something like this, the king must be thinking of you. So be careful there. That can be a dangerous two-edged sword that we're going to see. And talking about selfishness and pride over in Isaiah 56:11, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand, that all look to their own way, except one for his gain from his quarter, meaning that they can't see outside their own self to try to see the whole picture. And that usually ends up being pride, and God hates pride. And it's a hard thing sometimes not to have some pride. And I think some pride is good, but the pride should be in the Lord, and that they give him the praise. For the things he provides, not our own works. Also, over in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Also, Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. That's very wise words. Always best if somebody else says something nice about you. Particularly if you didn't expect it or ask for it. And so I think that's the only way you should ever try to pat yourself on the back, at least verbally to others. Like, look at me, look at what I've done. Sometimes it's best to just be quiet and work hard, and in the end, that people are going to see it and recognize it for you, even if it takes a little time. Let God handle that part. And I'm preaching to myself, realize that I'm just as guilty as the next man when it comes to that kind of stuff. I read through this, and I can think of times that I definitely had to ask for forgiveness for my pride. Hey, Esther 6:7, and Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor. So Haman's getting ready here to make a recommendation, thinking it's him that he wants to honor. He's going to kind of play it up. And we see over here about favor, over in another proverb, over in 16:15. And the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. So back to Esther 6:8. So this is Haman talking about his recommendation to the king on what he should do for this person to honor him. Let the royal apparel be brought, which the king uses to wear, and a horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. Couldn't help but think about a similar situation, only this time it was deserved over in 1 Kings 1:33. And here David is showing honor to his son in a similar way. So this was kind of like the, it was kind of a tradition amongst royalty to do something like this. So in 1 Kings 1:33, the king also said unto them, take with you the servants of the Lord and cause Solomon, my son, to ride upon mine own mule and bring him down to Gilead. So one example of another future leader who is going to be given honors similar in nature about, in this case, a steed. And it goes on to say, actually, I'm going to show you verse 34 also. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel, and blow ye with the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. So you can see they're honoring him. Okay, back to Esther, verse 9. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, but he's really laying it on thick, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the streets of the city, and proclaim him before him. Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And before I give you the punchline here, couple of things on being too hasty about receiving honor, but getting it in the correct way. And back to Joseph, over in Genesis 41, 43. And here, Joseph was not expecting this at all. He was called to see the king, if you remember, based on the fact that the Pharaoh needed a dream interpreted. And Joseph was able to interpret the dream, and because the king could see in Joseph that he would be a good person for the job, that he gave that job to Joseph, a very high honor. And here it is in Genesis 41:43, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. So for Joseph, the only person that was over him and power and authority was the Pharaoh himself. He was second in command, just because it was his faithfulness, and because he didn't expect it. God granted it to him through Pharaoh. And I think this is going to be a similar situation when you see, as we proceed here, when it comes to Mordecai. Mordecai wasn't asking for any kind of favors or anything. So back to Esther, verse 10, chapter 6. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew. Can you imagine the look on Haman's face when the king said that? That sitteth at the king's gate, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. So the king just told him that he was going to be the one doing it, and that he was supposed to do it to his arch enemy, Mordecai. Oh, wow. To be, I can imagine the words that came out of Haman when he got outside the door out of the king's earshot. But some other great examples of this I could to talk along the same idea about being hasty in what you do. Over in Daniel 4:37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his way judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar, we'll get to this chapter in our Sunday school, maybe this weekend. Let's see where I'm at. No, not quite yet. We're still at chapter 3. This is a great chapter about humility. And when a king realizes here that how to be humble. Also over in Luke 14:11. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. That's the Lord himself speaking. Okay, verse 11. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the streets of the city. I'm sure he was loving all this, because now he got, I'm sure there's people in the street too that knew exactly how Mordecai felt, I mean, how Haman felt about Mordecai. Through the streets of the city and proclaimed before him, Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Verse 12. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. So he basically ducked his head under a sheet, and after this was over, didn't bother going anywhere near the king's gate and went home. Well, if you remember correctly from yesterday, we still got something else going on. And in the next couple of verses, Haman has an appointment that he has to keep. And so I see that here. But just a couple of verses about being hastened over in 2 Chronicles 26:20. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. So in, I picked this verse mainly because of the last sentence, that the Lord has now shown Haman that be careful what you wish for. And that's going to continue on here in a minute. But talking about covering your head, that was quite common when you were ashamed. And we see that in 2 Samuel 15:30. And David went up, ashamed or in mourning. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olive and wept as he went up and had his head covered. And he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up weeping as they went up. I think this is when his son died. Or one of those stories of deep sorrow that David went through. Also over in Jeremiah 14, 3 and 4. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels emptied. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed and they covered their heads. In that particular case, too, just showing the examples about covering their heads in, when you were ashamed. So we see that same thing. Okay, verse 13. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said to his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be out of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. Basically, they're saying your days are numbered. But at this point, somebody came to get Haman because he had a date. But just as an example, over in Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's a famous verse that you hear probably a lot in the news. When it talks about Jerusalem and about Israel, how that God has a, a special place for Israel. And this is the verse people quote all the time. And I will bless them that bless thee, talking about Israel, and curse that, him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So that's talking about the through God and through the Jewish nation. And that's when God was actually talking to Abraham. Also over in Zechariah 2:8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, but he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Again, this is what happens when you mess with the Jewish nation. And a lot of people like to try to say that it's what's concerning about these governments that keep trying to split up Israel. It's a dangerous place to be because God speaks so highly of the land of Israel as being his land, God's land, not even the Jews. And so when somebody starts messing around with his land, there's a lot of people that believe that some of the natural disasters that we've experienced in this country and other things that have happened here is because we forsake the Jews. And so I'll be honest, I'm very worried right now that we may see some things that... I keep hearing stories about continuing to try to do things in Israel that I'm pretty sure God is not happy about. Okay, back to Esther 6:14. And while they were in, so realize that Haman is back at his house and he's just finished telling his wife And all of a sudden, a knock on the door comes. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlain and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. Well, you can imagine that Haman just got back there. He's got to hurry up and get dressed and get to this banquet. And I don't know if he even knows yet that Esther is a Jew. As a matter of fact, I know he does it. And so we'll talk about that chapter on Monday. We get to chapter 7, and we see how this banquet goes. But just as a little bit of a remember about banquets, if you remember that he's being told here to go to a banquet, if you remember back in Esther 5:8, if I have found favor in sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do it tomorrow as the king has said. And today is tomorrow, and this is when it's happening. And just so I don't leave you hanging all weekend long, you can go read it for yourself. But basically, at one point in chapter 7, see if I can find it real quick, Haman is actually going to plead with Queen Esther. Verse 5. This is right after Esther tells the king her plea about her people being killed. And the king comes back and says, then the king Xerxes answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that does presume in his heart to do so? And it goes on to verse 6. And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and queen. And verse 7, and the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther, the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. And so we'll look at that a little bit stronger on Monday. But basically that Haman is done for. The king is out in the garden right now. Really upset that Haman had done this, and it actually influenced not only the man he just honored, which is Mordecai, but also affected his relationship with his queen too, and which he had heavy favor with. So we can see that what's probably you already know that Haman's going to be killed on the exact gallows that he built. So take a look at that tomorrow on Monday. And I hope you have a great weekend. And keep in mind that Sunday services we got going. Sunday morning, we got Sunday school at 9 o'clock where I'm teaching Daniel. And the pastor is having his new believers class. I hear that's going really well. And then he has something in mind for him. I'm sure the Holy Spirit is working on him to know what that's going to be. I'm sure it'll be great. So that's at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock Sunday morning. And so we'll talk to you all then. Hope to see you at church. Have a great day. And send with a prayer. Lord, thank you so much for keeping us humble, Lord, and that we can take this lesson to heart and realize that it's through you that you give all the glory, and that the glory, you deserve all the glory, and that we can be here to help you in whatever ministry we can, that we're always keep in mind that you are the one in control and in charge, and that we honor you and we praise you, thank you for it. And I know I do personally, just thank you so very much, but also keep me humble, Lord, that I won't let anything that I think might be of me, and I know that you give all gifts, and we honor you that for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, we'll talk to you tomorrow, I mean Monday. Have a great weekend.